I am unashamed. What about you?
So, Jace, whenever you and I were in preaching school, we had a little run there where we were being late for chapel, and we had to go into the dean's office, and I'll never forget. I guess it's because we live on the river, but he said, I know you boys are coming from, you know, quite a bit of ways every day when you drive in, but is there water in your alarm clock? Do you remember him asking that question?
Yeah.
So what he meant was, is you need to be on in chapel on time. And so we had to kind of get up, start stirring around earlier. So I understand. I'll ask you the same thing today, because I didn't hunt today, but when I got here,
the theme of the duck hunt today.
I was like, where's Jace?
They
was
is Jace?
We don't know.
Where's Jace?
It was kind of like if this was the sequel to What's Wrong With, what's the dog's name? What's Wrong With Drew?
What's Wrong With Drew?
Today's sequel is Where's Jace?
Where's Jace? No, it was a rookie move. So, to Phil's point, when
we're
comes
only
to,
4 days into duck season, there's been a lot of rookie things happening. Is that just because everybody's like?
Well, I'm going to try to explain this out. Right, I have a pretty good excuse: modern technology. So my phone is my alarm clock.
Okay.
And normally you get in a routine in duck season, it's pretty well the same routine. But all my family is gone because we're anticipating the birth of a new child here.
Right.
So I'm by myself. I couldn't sleep last night, which is bad because it's duck
season. Your son isn't anticipated. Y'all not gonna have another youngin. Your children are picking
Phil,
up.
It's family. Yeah, but it's part. Is there really a difference?
Y'all burned out. It's over.
Yeah. Well,
the details matter.
Once dad removes a generation, it's like, fend for yourself, there, boy. Yeah.
So what I was going to say is I couldn't sleep last night because my nap yesterday was longer than normal because nobody's there.
Yep.
Well, you know, if nobody's bothering you,
you
can sleep all day. And so I took too long a nap. That's where it started. Then my phone, I went to bed about 12:30 last night. Supposed to get up at 3:45, which is not long. That's a nap. That's another nap.
That's another long nap.
But my phone, what do you call it? Not reboots. It did an upgrade.
Updates.
It did an update. Because every time it says, do you want to update or upgrade, I say no, because it changes everything.
Right.
So somewhere in the upgrade process, it just did it anyway. My alarm went off, but there was no sound. So when I woke up, I thought, I've missed something, because it was barely light. It was probably 6 o'clock.
And it should have been dark.
So I looked at my phone, and it was like, it was giving me a snooze option, and it was going off. With no sound.
Then I also looked
at four minutes.
Remember the computer world, they all said, we have everything covered.
Everything's covered.
Snooze. We know that we've got it all figured out. Yeah. Now you're looking around the bed, we're down there shooting ducks. I
mean, so I have been persecuted relentlessly via the phone because I sent Jay a text and said, well, I believe that ship has sailed. And he said, yeah, we're about done anyway. So, which was very rude.
That was his way of saying, we got him and you weren't here.
He said, you might already get another alarm clock and set it 3 minutes before your other one as a backup, which is an obvious thing to do. Yeah, I get it. I understand.
You need to get you the wind up. The one that Phil's got.
Won't work. That won't work. Because Dad can't figure out how to make it work.
Figure that out. Well, trust me, I will have an alternative because once that happens, it happens about every 10 years. You have some kind of issue.
Right.
I think that's the last time I overslept. So, hey.
Well, and it was a little bit of FOMO there once you wake up because you're thinking, what did I miss out? Fear of missing out.
Oh, I knew that. I mean, it wasn't like it was going to be a bad day. The conditions were perfect.
Yeah.
So, trust me, outside of a coma-like condition, would I miss something like that? Which I did. So
what did Jace miss, Dad? What did he miss this morning? Because y'all killed about 20 ducks.
Yep. The ducks just, we shot well. The ducks would just come in. Every one of them would light in the decoys. The wind was blowing.
That's always good. Right
out of the west. We're facing due north. So the wind had shifted just a little bit. And they all came from the right-hand side.
Yep.
On Jace's side, ooh, he would have been in the driver's seat. Yep. And they just came by. And
I love the details. The details.
So here's the question. How many more ducks, be honest, would we have shot and reduced to possession if I would have been there? No more, two more, a lot more.
We'd have three more woodies. And as far as the big ducks, what few came in there, none of those left. So it wasn't a question of shooting. Shooting was fine.
Okay, so see,
I'm
well rested to do the podcast, and I'm going to go scouting. So it's actually, it worked out.
So you're turning this into a positive.
Yep. So I'm going to become, to quote a famous person, I came here to serve, not to be served. So I'm going to go find y'all a place tomorrow.
That's a spin job there.
Ducks.
That's good.
So Zach, I saw Melissa and Ben were here in town this week. I saw them yesterday. So tonight we're having our Thanksgiving a little bit earlier. So Jace, he's heading off to be there, I guess, for the birth of his first grandchild. But I'm excited about talking to Willie. We haven't been able to talk about this on the podcast. Dad has talked about it a couple of times that we had to edit. When Willie was on The Masked Singer, Dad had outed him a time or two.
It wasn't me. So I was embarrassed that a lot of people, I heard this, I didn't see it, but a lot of people said they were reaching out to me on social media saying that, was it me? Yeah. I'm like, if you hadn't figured out, I realized I guess he was in costume. I didn't see it.
Oh, it was costume. Did you watch it, Dad?
The only thing that my brother and I have in common, well, what am I trying to say? The only thing we don't have in common, that's what I was going to say, is physical anatomy. So if you're mistaking me for Willie in any way, what's wrong?
Yeah. Well, it was a big costume. I mean, it could have been easy to hide in. So
there you go.
You weren't able to tell.
They were calling him a mallard, and he had a wood duck mask on.
That must be a Hollywood thing.
They didn't know. But when you have gyrating women with their boobs hanging out, I don't watch shows like that.
Oh, that's in there?
Oh.
You've heard?
He saw it.
Willie wanted me to see him in action.
You couldn't get past. Okay.
And finally, when he comes out of the duck suit, he said, "You see it?" And I said, "No."
No, I didn't even.
I didn't even know.
I didn't know what channel was.
I didn't even know when the thing was going to run.
I took it for the family and watched the whole thing. And it is, I will say, it's 6 hours. I didn't watch it unless he was on it. And he was on five episodes. So it was 5 hours of my life I'll never get back from watching that show. But I will say this about Willie. One is because he sang. Every time.
He's not a bad singer.
I was shocked. In fact, he
was on an album.
Well, but I thought maybe auto-tune helped that out. I wasn't sure that was all
bad.
He did good on the Christmas album. So I texted him once I knew he was on it. So I watched the first episode. He sang a John Rich song, and it was good. And so I texted him once he knew I knew he was on it. And I said, did they just record that and play it? Because, again, I'm thinking, you know, he might have got a little, they can help your voice. I mean, they made Si sound decent. So I'm saying,
they can do things. If Si doesn't holler, he's a pretty good singer. Yeah. He has the chant with the singing.
Right.
I mean, if you walk in and there's 800 people singing a cappella, you will hear Si.
Yeah, he's a cut above. So,
but he's good. He's like a bluegrass singer. He's like a Ralph Stanley or one of those kind of guys.
Right.
Si is.
Well,
yeah. Well, he sounded good.
Yeah. Uh oh, so here he is. He's back.
Oh my goodness!
Hang on.
We've been attacked. Look. I mean, that was a dive. That just cost you your life right there.
Oh, hey.
Take a break. You got him that time.
Yellow jacket.
So for the is it the third straight podcast?
That was an aggressive move.
I mean, he just dive bombed.
Well, I didn't want to tear up the equipment.
I'm laughing at her and Josh over here behind the scenes because he came out of the chair on that one.
I mean, there's a tax and then there's that.
Well, it's getting down in the 30s.
I felt the wind of the wings on the nose. That's how close that was.
Woo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But somebody's going to get dope pop, Zach.
If I hadn't have got that extra 6 hours of sleep, I probably would have got stung.
If you would have hunted this morning, you would have got stung right in the face.
Exactly.
So I think, is this the third podcast in a row, Josh? So we've had an attack of
Speaking of ducks.
That was a hornet, though.
What Jace missed. I ran home early. I got out of the woods. We came out early. I said, get me out early because I've got, they want me to fix my famous duck and dressing. So I've got about, as I speak, I went with the wood ducks and the green winged teal.
Excellent.
So I had two big pots, a few bay leaves in there, salt and black pepper. And we're going to boil them until you reach down and grab one of the legs that's sticking up, you know. You grab that leg, and when it begins to loosen, when that leg loosens, you say, time to take them out.
There's
you
a don't loosening of the leg.
You pick up one leg, and you try to lift up the teal with it. Well, if you end up with the leg in your hand.
Too long.
Waited too long. You boil them too long. So I've got Blondie and your mother down there monitoring. They said, this thing here, what we're doing here, take a couple hours. So I said, let's boil them slow, not fast boil. So I'll come in down there. They're going to cut up the stuff for the cornbread. It's cornbread, Ritz crackers, crumbled up, crushed finely.
You need to do a new cookbook and call it Loose Leg.
Loose Leg.
Loose leg. You can tell a little about the leg on a duck, especially. When that leg starts to come off, you're like, time to quit balling. I'm just filling you boys in, so when y'all get a little older, get more mature, you'll know about duck baking.
I was just seeing how far this loose leg was going, but I have to admit, you are committed to it.
But look, so before you got here, Jace, Dad said, call up your mama. Because I got to tell her exactly how to do these ducks because he's not there to do it.
And so, he doesn't have a cell phone.
Right.
But fix this family meal for your family, it started, here's how long it takes, ladies and gentlemen, of you who are listening. This started about me racing from the duck blind with more ducks, racing toward the house because I knew I had an hour and a half to get my ducks on and get them all ready to go. And that's just the beginning of it. I'm using the broth. The ducks come back, and they're nestling the cornbread dressing. And I put them in a circle, big pot, like the pot's like this. I mean, huge pot, enough to feed 30 to 40 people. So,
which we'll have 50 there.
And so. they love the duck and dressing, so I'm making it for them. But it literally will take us 4-5 hours to have that ready.
Well, your dressing is by far the best I've ever had. In fact, I think you went past Granny, who used to make dressing for us, but I think yours is better.
I watched yours her, is a wet and dressing. It's a lot like hers.
Yeah, it's good. But what I was going to say was when you call Mom, so I said, here, Mom, Dad wants to give you some instructions on those ducks, and let's take a break. So, Zach, recently you and I had a conversation with one of our sponsors because we really like to try to tell the stories when we can of the people that support us and support this podcast. And Good Ranchers, the guy at Good Ranchers, we talked to one of their owners, and great guy. Most of the guys that have started this company have been in ministry in their early lives, believers, which I didn't know until we had that conversation.
They're great guys. And I just, you know, they support us. So we're obviously want to support what they're doing. And they're for what the local farmers that are, you know, constantly having to compete with these big companies that are importing food from meat from overseas. And I've actually got my first box in the mail and started cooking the steaks. I got chicken. So we've been eating on it.
Yeah, I told them that since we lovingly call Chick-fil-A Jesus Chicken, we maybe call these guys Jesus Beef. And so, which I think would be great. They really are America first. They're trying to help. There have been over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the U.S. that have been shut down because of this foreign influence that Zach was talking about. So we want you guys to give these guys a shot. To support them, but also, you know, to really get some good products. So go to goodranchers.com/Phil. If you go there right now, you're going to get 10 free fillets, which is really great. And if you subscribe, you're going to save $25 off each subscription box that comes to you in the future. So that's a really good deal. It's affordable. goodranchers.com/Phil. You get the 10 free fillets, you get free express shipping, and you get $25 off your monthly subscription for life. So check them out, goodranchers.com/Phil, or use code Phil at checkout. And so he starts in, and Mom says, wait a minute. Let me get Lynn on here, because you know I'm having trouble remembering things today. So then we had to get Blondie in for Dad to give the loose leg instructions.
So what it, now back to the, did Willie win this singing competition?
Well, here's the thing. No. But I don't know how you win it. I guess I didn't watch it enough to understand it. Yeah. But they eliminate you. So he got to the semifinals. There were four people
left.
So
he's wearing a mask and he sings.
No, he's wearing a 4-foot-tall wood duck.
That they have sounding like a mallard.
Well, they call him the mallard.
Well, they call him the mallard.
Oh, which reminds me. Well, that reminds me.
But I got a theory as to why that is. Because you would have had to call him the Woody. And I'm just saying they probably wanted to avoid that. I mean, we would have understood that from a duck perspective, but in a slang way, that's not a good thing. So,
well, who comes up with these?
Well,
I never heard that.
I figured you didn't, but Zach and I know. So they couldn't call him the Woody.
Get your head out of the gutters.
I'm just giving you the theory.
I didn't say anything. Al threw me in there with him just because I
look. There it is, Jace. Look on the screen. Josh just put up a there.
Oh, that's what
he looked like.
Will he look like?
Yeah. So you see how they could see it was you? Because he looks tall and slender, right?
You can't tell. The costume's so big. I mean, it's like it's a big.
Look, his head is underneath. Okay. His head is not in that wood duck. It's below that. That is
They had to dub that. You couldn't sing through that.
No, that's what I asked him. And he said he sang.
In that.
They had a microphone inside. There's probably a mic inside the costume.
Well, I noticed some of them, Zach, had the little earpiece ones like we wear preaching and stuff, too.
But I wonder if that was just for looks.
Who watches this stuff?
Oh, and look, it's hard to watch. I mean,
that's what I figured.
Because the four people that are like the stars of it, their banter back and forth is nauseating. I mean, like, I just couldn't hardly. I almost had to just mute it until. Then listen to Willie sing and then mute the rest of it, but, you know, until something happened. But the problem was I never knew. They're talking about nothing that makes any sense. Here's what gets me. They kept guessing people. They were guessing the biggest stars on the planet, the best singers, the biggest movie stars. And I'm laughing because I kept thinking, those people are not going to do this show.
Well, yeah.
So, I was being way too practical.
I couldn't watch it.
I mean, the show was mostly like, you know, kind of smaller time people, I guess, singers,
but
reality
how do you win
TV.
Now, what is the point of the show?
I never got it.
Oh.
I never understood it.
So why did Willie do it?
Well, Willie, he's
run out of something.
Zach,
to
do you have any insight on why Willie did it? I mean, he loves to be on TV.
He likes to sing.
Okay.
And he sang well.
Well, you had Larry the Cable Guy was one of them.
Oh, right. Well, that's some of it, because him and Larry are buddies, I believe.
Oh, they are.
And then they had.
So I see how that went. Larry called Willie and said, "Hey, man, let's do this show. You can dress up like a duck."
Well, hey,
what was Larry the Cable Guy dressed up like?
Do you remember that? I don't know. Josh, find out.
Well, so he lost. Wait, so he didn't lose. He participated. He got
right.
In our culture now.
I don't think you can. I don't think you really lose on there. You just get kind of kicked off.
Is this like a participation award? You get a trophy
that's
for
what participating? I get. That's what I get.
What is wrong with our society?
I don't know. But, I mean, Willie, what I'm saying is, the end of the day, I thought he did our family proud. He wasn't, other than being on the show. which that's another debate. But I'm saying his singing was, it was impressive. And yeah, even the people there, these people that were, they kept remarking, they kept guessing Jason. He was Jason Aldean. And so everybody they were guessing are Willie's buddies.
Yeah.
You know, Billy Ray Cyrus, all these people. And so he really did well. And look, he sang two country songs, but he sang two pop songs. And so I was just
like, was he doing like dancing and gyrations?
There were, it was choreographed, no doubt about it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. It was, you'll have to go back and watch just,
I'm saying
just like on YouTube, just him. Yeah. You could watch that and just get the gist of it.
What bothers me is I couldn't get past if they call him the mallard and he has a wood duck head. You remember on, there was a scene in Duck Dynasty where they would, you know, before they released it, they would send it to us and say, you know, is there any objections to this?
Yeah.
And very rarely, you know, were there. And when they were, that didn't necessarily mean they were going to change.
Well, right.
So at the end of one of the episodes, they had a mallard drake and they had dubbed in a quack sound. And so I said, yeah, I object to a mallard drake at the end quacking, because mallard drakes don't quack. They sent it back. They sent a response and said no one would notice that.
Huh. Wrong.
So I responded.
Wrong.
I just did. Mallard drakes don't quack.
And Jason, to your point, you were the only person that's heard it so far, and you objected and knew it.
Oh, I got so angry. I thought, and guess what? There's some Duck Dynasty video out there or whatever.
Oh, so they left it in there.
Oh, they left it in there. You got a mallard drake quacking. It's like that. It's like they said, well, it's an embellishment of the quack. I said, but they don't do that. And so then I demonstrated
what they
to a Hollywood whoever on what the actual mallard drake sounded like. And you know what their response was? Huh. I thought they all quacked. So in Hollywood, guess what? They quacked.
Well, that was the number one question I got, because it was so awkward, though, because they'd be like, is that Willie on the thing? Or I had a couple ask me, Willie or Jace, by the way, Joe. I was like, and then they were like, and he's not a, why are they calling him a mallard when he's a wood duck? I said, well, first of all, I can neither confirm nor deny what Willie does in his extracurricular activities, number one. Number two, they're from Hollywood. They wouldn't know the difference in a wood duck and a mallard.
That's correct.
Now, Willie knew the difference. So I am going to ask him that question tonight at Thanksgiving. That's my question, is why did, but I think I know the answer. I think I gave you my prediction a minute ago, so we'll see what he says.
Well, I better back off, because rumor is I'm fixed to be on TV again. That's so right.
Just don't embarrass
everybody
us,
listening. Say, what were you thinking?
But I've seen what you guys filmed, and it was actually very good. It was funny. I found myself drawn into it, just like you used to watch our show. So
I think we'll know today whether this is going to go forward or not.
Well, are you going, Jace? Are you? Will you be at the Thanksgiving dinner at Willie's?
I will.
Yep.
Okay. I was told you weren't going to be there, but now that I know you are. I'll say this about the.
He was told, like, he's got informants running around. So you got some people that are keeping an eye on us over here? Is I was told Jace wouldn't be at Thanksgiving this year.
I would tell you something.
That's what I'm saying. It's like he's out in North Carolina controlling all of us like a puppeteer.
I'm just keeping tabs on my family. I care about you guys. I do.
A mogul.
Was there a comment after that? So if I show up, is there some kind of surprise that's going to be revealed?
No, we just had some business to attend to that was going to take place at the Thanksgiving dinner, and then somebody told me you weren't going to be there. So I was like, well, that's weird, because I just talked to him yesterday.
So Zach just went into contract business on the podcast. I like that. That's pretty good. We need to talk more, Zach. Maybe we just need to call when this is over.
That's the only time I can talk to you guys is on here. So
that's funny.
You know, but you know, you can look at the on Willie on the Masked Singer, though. You can Google who these people are. Like the internet gets it right like weeks in advance before they're revealed. So you could, I mean, if you Google it, it literally one Google search away from finding out who all these people are.
You know what? The reason I hung in there, Zach, is because my biggest question was, when Willie takes off that mask, are these four people that are on this their panel, and there was actually five, they had like a guest on there, are they even going to know who he is? I thought this may be embarrassing if they think
that's
like...
That's what I was thinking.
Who
did they
this?
Know who he was?
Who?
How?
Well,
they
did. And then,
well, you know why?
But he looks a lot different.
Because a producer probably said, hey, the guy who takes the mask off, he was Willie from Duck Dynasty.
No, that's the way the announcer did it. As soon as it came off, ooh, look, it's Willie from Duck Dynasty. No, actually, it said Willie.
Like, who in their right mind would, unless you were an avid fan, you can't get our names right anyway.
That's right.
I have people saying, hey, Phil, Cy, Jeff. I've been called every family member except you.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
That's weird because you've got a ways to go. So let's take our last break. It's not our last break. Let's take a break. Well, we're back in full duck season mode for those that wake up and make it to the blind. But when that happens, many times the aches and pains will increase a little bit because of the activity. Dad, that's where you had your tragic bicep injury last year. And, you know, it's just getting in and out of duck blinds. It's not easy.
I wouldn't call it tragic. I just had one sep instead of a bicep. Lost a sep.
He's a unisep now, which is all the more reason to have for our great product that has been a supporter of our podcast for a while, Omega XL, because they help with the inflammation. They rejuvenate your joints and muscles so you can move around like you were younger, which is always a good thing, especially when we're hunting.
By the way, no matter how rough duck season gets, it gets better once you get acclimated to what's going on.
Exactly. It improves, doesn't it?
Yep.
Visit OmegaXL.com/Phil. OmegaXL.com/Phil. You're going to buy a bottle, get a second bottle for free, just for being a listener, and really help with that inflammation. Or you can call them at 800-844-4888, 800-844-4888. So, well, I got to say one more thing, and now I've lost my train of thought.
If we don't get into the Bible, right, we're going to have to repent over this, which Willie caused all this problem by going and doing that show anyway, and then we had to talk about it.
Oh, no,
it.
What I was going to say was, last thing. So,
but now look how
they didn't use the phrase Duck Dynasty. It said underneath is when it says Willie Robertson, it was like author, speaker. Like it didn't
say probably trademarked or something.
Maybe so. But the guy that's Alan Thicke's son.
We don't know who these people are. Just
well, anyway, the thick guy, he said, oh, Duck Dynasty. And then he looked down at the woman. He said, and one woman guessed it was Dawg the Bounty Hunter is what she guessed. And she was kind of closer than anybody else because at least she had a reality TV person. So anyway, they did know who he was. So. All right, well, let's get to the Bible because this thing went off the rails between the.
That did, man. That was bad.
Between the killed hornet and everything else, this has been a crazy morning. We're in Matthew 19.
I had to defend myself.
Well, you did because he was fixing to dope up you right square between the eyes is where he was going for. So last time we talked about these first three segments that are in Matthew 19. That deal with the guy we were talking about, Joseph Shulam, who had preached at Wise Way Road.
Well, there's actually only three segments.
Well, there is, but I added the fourth in my notes from the first section in chapter 20 because I think he's explaining what happened with the rich young ruler, but I'll get to that in a minute. So he was talking about the idea was patience and grace, which I
think
from God's perspective. And I think he's right. I think he's right on target because he talked about divorce. He talked about little children, and then he talked about this guy, the rich young man, who basically was a great person. He was a law keeper, but he had a problem because he was looking to that ultimately as his saving grace. And, you know, obviously he had an issue with money because when Jesus says, well, that's good, but why don't you just sell everything you got and follow me?
Well, I think
he loved the money. Right. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil.
And possession.
People who want to get rich pierce themselves with many griefs.
Yeah.
And it is true. But he had it. He loved it.
But I think this launched Jesus.
There's a many of wealthy people. They love that out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But some, I'm saying.
Some have it on straight and don't get swept up and thinking, well, I've had billions. But most of them, for the most part, there's a peace of mind seems to elude them.
Well, Dad had the greatest line of all time. Zach was there. We were sitting on a $150 million yacht, and he looked over at the guy that owned it, and we had been hanging out there a day or two doing interviews and stuff. And Dad looked at the guy, and he said, I've noticed something after hanging with you for a day or two. And the old guy's just looking at him. He's a pretty low-key guy.
He was a billionaire.
A billionaire with big billion. And he looked at Dad and he said, "What's that, Phil?" And Dad said, "There's a big difference in billions and millions."
And there was a pause.
There was a pause. And then he started laughing. Then the table erupted. All the little minions around the table weren't going to laugh unless the guy laughed, But I thought it was a great observation because we were sitting on a $150 million boat. Remember, Zach?
Oh, they had the guys guarding the boat with the machine guns.
Oh, it was something.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, and we were eating filet mignon.
We were out of our league for sure.
Yeah, we were not comfortable. But to your point, Dad, it would be hard unless you had a humble, believing heart going into that, which I think is our saving grace because we're not billionaires. But I mean, certainly we've had some success, but we came into it with nothing. And if the Almighty decides to take it all away, I'm not going to have a problem with that, are y'all? I mean, like.
Well, what if the evil one takes it all?
Or the evil one.
Like Job. I mean, Job, he just stripped him of everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think when we read through Matthew 19 and a lot of this text in Matthew, I think the temptation is to look at it as these are little nuggets that Jesus is giving us on how to live. And we're not seeing sometimes the grand narrative of what he's saying here. And the rich young ruler, I think, really brings this point to light when he says this. We want to take this as an attack on people of wealth, but there is this last part of the verse when he says, "Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle," which seems impossible, right, "than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So what Jesus is showing us here is like the you're not getting in if you're rich. And so that's why they asked the question when the disciples heard this. They were astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, and this is the part I think we have to hone in on, "With people, this is impossible." What's impossible? For these people to be saved. "But with God, all things are possible." So I think the story that's happening here, he's throwing these things out about what it means to be righteous. And no matter where you fall in the picture, you're going to look at Jesus' standard and you're going to say, "Uh-oh, I'm not righteous," no matter who you are.
Right.
And so then that leads to the question, well, how is it possible then for me or anybody to be saved? And the answer will go back to, with you, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible, including the salvation of people who could never be righous on their own. So I think that's the point.
You framed it well, Zach, and that's exactly why it fits into this narrative of grace, because you can't earn your way in by your good deeds, by your law keeping, by whatever. You can't buy your way in because you're rich. Okay. The only way you get in is through Jesus. And that's why when he comes out with this next parable, that's why I link it back to this. He's going to have a parable about people that came in late to the party, but still got the same rewards.
Usually, if you have billions, in other words, it's kind of just understood that when you show up on the scene, that you have to.
You're in.
It's a thing of status.
Right.
And no matter how hard you try to match it up, the poorest of the poor is there. And do you offer, like James said, do you offer the rich guy, the nice seating, and
right,
the other guy, he's over. It's just human nature that with the bucks comes status, and it just tied, the two are tied together. And it looked like to me Jesus was kind of making a point that needs to be untied. Even being a billionaire wouldn't help you any, Zach. You're right down there with the poorest of the poor when you get right down to it.
Yeah, and if you think about it, though, there like we know people who are very, very wealthy. I was thinking about the time we went up to Hobby Lobby and you spoke at their headquarters still, and they've made a lot of money, and they've got a lot of money. But when you walk in their facility, what's the first thing they did? They said, we're going to take you down this – we're going to give you a tour – and they take you down. The first hallway you walk down is lined with all of the missions that they're supporting. And they said, you know, this is why we're in business. We are in business. And then they show you everything they're doing. So I think that wealth's not the enemy. Money's not the enemy. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. But if your wealth is geared towards bringing the kingdom of God, you know, to fruition here on earth, then I think it's a great thing if that's what your motivation is. And I think it really does matter.
We've made that point a lot. Let's take another break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
So it's that time of year, we like to say, 'tis the season, when people are looking for great gift ideas and different things to give to their loved ones. We know that a lot of you guys out there in Unashamed Nation are always looking for some good Unashamed merch. And so we want to let you know there's going to be a 20% off discount right now if you use the right code to be able to get some holiday items or just some items for yourself, which is always good. So you go to PhilMerch.com, PhilMerch.com. The promo code is Unashamed20. That's Unashamed20. It's going to get you 20% off. And so it's some really cool looking Unashamed gear. Things for you to give to someone just to say I love you and also support Unashamed Nation. So we love you guys. We're so glad that you're out there and that you're with us. So Unashamed20, PhilMerch.com. Zach, we made that point a lot that Jesus in most of his parables is talking about, you know, people that are successful in business, that, you know what they're doing. In fact, this next one, this is a guy who has a vineyard that is very successful and is hiring all these people to work for him. So to your point, you're right. He's not down on money. He's not down on wealth. He's down on trusting it more, or somehow saying it differentiates you from when it comes to salvation.
Or it's more important than he is.
Correct. Yeah.
I think this, though, was a transition because they have this encounter. The disciples are sitting there watching this go down. Then all of a sudden, everything that you've attached success to in real life, working hard and earning your way and getting what's coming to you, he just seems to debunk here. So then after he makes this statement about you can't obtain salvation through man, but with God, all things are possible. Peter said, well, we've left everything to follow you, which is true.
Yep.
But then he asked this one question, which I think launched into this whole next chapter from Matthew's writing. Well, what then will there be for us? What do we get out of this thing? I mean, we've left everything here. We're not functioning like the world. So what do we get? And so Jesus tells them with a caveat, because he said, everyone who has left houses in 29 or brothers or sisters, the relationships will receive 100 times as much. But then he says, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first, which I think he was bringing a picture out that how we function in the kingdom of God is not the way of the world.
Yep.
We're not going to, what you think about success in the world, which is true, about working hard and being competitive and outdoing someone else, it's not going to work that way in the kingdom. You're not, I mean, he didn't say this, but the implications are you're not going to compete better than another Christian and receive a richer reward because you outdid some other Christian. And the reason I'm bringing that up, because in a lot of churches, people feel that way. They're like, well, as long as I'm better than him, because in the world that works.
Yep.
You don't have to be the best, just be better than some.
Yeah.
And you can be successful.
And, you know, to the point we were talking about with being on the boat with the billionaire, when you think about it, Zach, I mean, Dad was there because he was in a movie that you helped write, and he was the quote-unquote star of that movie. He was the guy that, you know, that did the movie. The other guy is the guy that was a guy we were talking about helping finance a movie. So really, they both play a role, which is kind of the whole point. Whether you're a guy that looks like Dad, Dad didn't look like a guy that would be on a $150 billion boat, Dad. I mean, no offense, but, you know, because they knew who you were, they let you on the boat. But, and yet you were both there for a purpose that was joined together. And I think that's a good picture of what this looks like. And so whether you're the last guy in or the first guy in, to Jay's point, it doesn't matter.
But that, right. But people deem that as not fair.
Right. Which is the point of the next parable.
That's
what
you got to get over, yeah, to be in the kingdom. Grace just encompasses everything. You just got to be glad to be here.
Right.
Yeah, as Jace was saying earlier, he referenced the word. He said, in the words of a famous man, I didn't come to serve or to be served, but to serve. He kind of said it tongue-in-cheek, but he's talking about Jesus. That's what Jesus said. And so when you get to this part about the whoever is first will be last and the last will be first, and there's this paradox, this flip. You know, I used to think that meant that if you were humble and the God in the kingdom, God would take the least and usher him to the front and say, now you're the big dog and give them all the possessions or whatever. But I think what's going on here, as modeled by Jesus himself, I think when he said this, in the kingdom, everything's it's totally different. To give is to actually receive, and to die to self is to actually live, and to be last, to be in the role of the servant. That's where the life is at. And I think that God models that inside of his inner life. If you think about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a father who is pouring himself out for his son, he didn't try to gain anything from the son. He's given his life to the son. The son gives his life to the father, and the love between them is the spirit. And then God shows that in the gospel, that he comes out here and dies for us and says, be like me. I mean, that's the whole thing. Be like me. And I think we're so caught up in a consumer culture that we want to consume, consume, consume. And God's like, anywhere it's at, you're never going to find fulfillment from consumption. You find fulfillment from getting out and pouring out, because that's how you were designed.
Yeah. But you know, when he said that, which is later on in chapter 20, about the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, that's in 28. And then he makes this statement, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, when you think of ransom, you're thinking somebody's been kidnapped. We got to get the money, which is the ransom, give it so they can be freed,
right,
saved,
right,
released. So all of a sudden, when he interjects that thought, it's kind of humbling to realize that he's acknowledging his role in this and the dire condition of humanity. I mean, that was his word, not mine.
Well, when you think about it, let's take our last break. When you think about it, Jace, that's exactly what happened, because we were kidnapped by our own decision that put us under the control of the evil one, who now has us enslaved because of our fear of death, not being in a right relationship with God. And Jesus was exactly that,
yeah,
the ransom that then offered our salvation to come out from under this kidnapped situation.
Do you know what's unique about this? Is I never noticed this before last night when I was reading this. You know, these two disciples get their mom to go ask Jesus, which, look, if that's your plan, You should just stop it right there. If your plan, grown men, is to get your mom to go talk to your boss or whoever.
Well, my joke was, when I was looking at Jesus, I said, Jesus called them the sons of thunder. I would call them the sons of dunder, because that's kind of a dunder-headed move.
Oh, I remember one time I was speaking, and, I got all lathered up there. Didn't have notes. I was pulling a feel. And I made a comment. I said, if you're over the age of 20 and you're living in your parents' basement, move out and get a job. I said that from the pulpit. Well, some old boy came up there and said, "Hey, I live in my parents' basement." And he was, he went to explain the reasoning. I said, "My recommendation stands."
Good for you. Good for you, man.
This is your plan. I don't care what happened or what's fixed to happen. That's not a plan. Yeah,
these guys here had a failure to launch, apparently, because Mama was. And I've had them come to being in like college ministry for so long. Man, I can't tell you how many times moms would. And that's why I could never do youth ministry. But I could do college ministry because you're dealing with legal adults. But like, if a mom ever came to me, and that happened quite often, going to bat for their sons, and I'm like, "You gotta like I'm not dealing with you. Your son's 20 years old. I'll deal with him. I'm not dealing with you about your 20 year old son."
I was gonna make a point that Jesus asked. Of course, he knew what was fixed to happen, but he asked, "What do you want?" And so she goes on saying, "Well, at the request is, can they sit on your right and left in this power?" Well, the whole point of this is that they weren't seeing the big picture in who he was. Because in essence, who ended up being at his right and left at the apex of the kingdom? Two thieves.
Right.
Well, then later on, the next paragraph, I'd never made this connection that Jesus is traveling. That situation has gone, and he comes up, and there's a couple of blind guys, and they're hollering, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus asked the same question: "What do you want?" Well, these guys' response were different. They want to see. So in one, his own disciples couldn't see. And look, I'm not picking on them, because if I was in that same situation, I wouldn't be able to see the difference in the way we view the world either. Because you do think that you can earn your way and you can save yourself and you can get a better place by blood, sweat, and tears, from your own account. They couldn't see what he was offering. And so here he heals their physical sight. He had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. So I just think it's interesting the way this is about, you don't want to ever get in your mind what you think this is supposed to be,
right,
and be dead wrong.
Well, and by the way, that power picture in our culture, if you want the shot, the money shot that she was asking for, it was when the president speaks at the State of the Union. And, right on his behind him, sitting above him, you got the vice president, which is the head of the Senate, and they got the Speaker of the House. So the idea is that money shot, when he's speaking, is here's the power of this, they'll say of the world, because of the United States. But you got the president of the United States, here on one side, you got the VP, here on the other side, you got Speaker of the House. That's 1, 2, 3, the most powerful people. And so that's, in a modern picture, that's the picture that people say, "Boy, if you were in one of those positions, would you have?"
Well, the mom was asking for power seats, and the two guys here, they just wanted to see. So right. I think it's
super relevant to where we're at now. I mean, we're doing the same thing today. And Jesus came, and he totally not just disrupts, he like demolishes kind of this power dynamic. You see it today. Everybody wants to be in the position of notoriety because they associate it with power, or they want to be in a position of wealth because they associate it with power. And I think the proof's in the pudding, though, that power and the accumulation and consumption of power doesn't lead to fulfillment. It just doesn't. I mean, I was thinking about when you were talking about the billionaire. There's another guy that I know that's very wealthy, Al, that we did an event with. And I don't even know if you remember this or not. We were sitting around a campfire, and I asked the guy, I said, I'll call him Jim. That's not his name. I said, Jim, I said, man, you have made some money, haven't you? And Jim's like, oh, I've made some money. And I said, do you ever think like that? Is it ever like you feel like you finally got what you're looking for? I mean, like, have you found your purpose in life? Like, has it delivered on what was promised? I'll never forget. He said, I'll tell you what, Zach, he said, I give to this and I give to that. He started naming all the stuff he gave to it. Then he stopped himself. He said, no, that's not a good answer. He said, you know what? No, I don't think I found what I'm looking for. And it was like this deflating moment that he had realized, in that moment, he had realized, like, even as much as he'd accomplished, as much of power as he'd accumulated, it just doesn't, like, give what Phil was said earlier. It's the peace of mind. And that's what Jesus offers us through a disruption of the power dynamic. And this lady, this woman, this mother, I don't think she got it.
No, I think you're exactly right.
Well, no, because they're taking for granted. Jesus' point, he was taking for granted. What good is billions of dollars if, you know, you're blind or you're handicapped or you're in a hospital, or you're taking the little things, which are big things. Once you, you know, you lose your eyesight, that becomes what you want. I mean, if you could have that healed, I mean, that becomes the all consuming thing. So I think he was trying to show them that they were taking for granted all the blessings that were going to come. And the blessings they have now, just every day.
I think you're right, Judge. And I think the reason that little tidbit got into Matthew's account was because they were yelling and screaming out, Lord, Son of David. Well, Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem in this scene as the conquering king. I mean, he won't be seen that way in the moment, but that's what he's doing. And these two blind guys who couldn't see actually saw what was going on, because they called him by the right name. He was the Son of David,
exactly,
the Lord entering. And so I think,
and here's disciples who should know that the big plan,
right,
are saying, where's our power seat? Can you know?
That's right.
Which, and the other disciples didn't like that, but in the,
yeah, they
moment,
were indignant, it says,
but in the moment they were all struggling with this idea of a new world and how we view it.
That's right. And so, and remember what the people were saying about the two guys yelling? Remember what they told him? Shut up. Quit yelling. You know, you sit over there and be blind and shut up. So it's just the easy to overlook, which is the whole point of this thing, is Jesus is trying to tell them, that's why servanthood, that's why help being that hard and being that person is what matters more than your position of power.
That's why I'm not interested in politics.
Right.
At a serving at any level,
yeah,
because there's always the power that comes with it.
It's tough,
you know, little job, but still the political world, yeah, it's all about the power.
It's usually climbing over each other. Yeah, and most of us have been approached in one way.
It's a road I'm not going down.
That's why also the two blind guys, I mean, who knows, maybe because of their condition, that they found faith in Jesus in difficulty. Because a lot of people who are the most heroic are those who have had terrible things happen to them. And you're like, well, if that happened to me, I would be mad at God. They inspire us, because somewhere in that, they find the true meaning to life, which is unseen, you know, in the heart and in their relationship with God.
Well, and to your point, Dad, and we'll close with this, Zach, you know, ran for Congress. He's the only one that actually ran for an office out of our family. And he lost. And look, there was no doubt. I'm not just saying this to make Zach feel better, but I mean, Zach was the best candidate running for that seat. He was the smartest. He was the most conservative. He was the guy that we needed. But he barely lost. And we look back on it now, and Zach, ever since you lost that, because of contacts made and all that, he's accomplished far more for the kingdom and for the world, for Christ, by not being a sitting member of Congress. Now, you know, maybe there would have been something different, but I think that everything we're doing, this podcast, the In the Wisdom Field, everything we've done since Zach lost his seat, running for seat for Congress, has happened because he's just followed the will of God. So I think that's a good picture, Zach, of exactly what we're talking about here. Not that you needed to be in power. You need to be continuing to help people understand God's power.
Oh yeah, I agree. Yeah, when I lost the night I lost, the first thing I did was I went to Wendy's, and me and Jill got two hamburgers. It was about midnight, and we were actually thankful that it didn't work out, because I mean once I got into it, I'm with Phil, you know, I'm like, this, I don't know if this is where God's, we got to have good people in office, but I think that there's the battle really is in the cult, is really good culture, and are we painting a picture of how beautiful God is, and this paradox that we're talking about here in Matthew, that Jesus is talking about, that shifts the power dynamic. We have to paint the picture of the beauty of God, and why should people come and submit to this God? And we submit to Him because He's good and He loves us and He's able. So yeah, I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing. Good point.
So the moral of the story is, if you ever lose, just cry into your Frosty.
No, look, the last time I went to Wendy's, was on my wedding night. When I got married, because I thought, you know, I waited till I got married. I said, boy, we're going to the hotel room. And we got out of there. I said, boy, I'm hungry. You want to go to Wendy's? That's the last time I went. So well, whether you win or lose.
Your feelings, Andy, I've never been to Wendy's.
Well, it's only went because it was open at midnight. It's open at midnight, so
I don't make Wendy's in the middle of the night.
I don't recommend it.
Perfect way to end this podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes, and don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.